You're listening to a sermon from Christian Life, the Island Church, in Orange Beach, Alabama. For more information, visit christianlifechurch.tv.
Good morning, everyone. How are you today? Amen. Well, as you can tell, I didn't finish dressing this morning. But just so you understand, I realize that my shirt's unbuttoned, and I want you to know I'm not forgetful. But today, in addition to preaching the Word of God, I want to use a little bit of a unique method for me, but I want you to hear this. It's not unique to the Word of God. In fact, when you study the Old Testament prophets, how many realize they use some illustrated sermons? Well, think about this. Jeremiah once smashed a clay pot to symbolize the destruction of Judah. Ezekiel shaved his head and his beard, and then he weighed it before he burned it. Isaiah, look it up, Isaiah 20 and verse number 3, walked around naked and barefoot for 3 years. Don't worry, I'm not going that far. I say that because now I want you to feel okay about this message. In Colossians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul compared the Christian life to taking off the old clothes and putting on the new clothes. If you'll remember, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, the last 2 weeks, he told us to take off 11 things. We've hit these pretty hard. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, which is lust, evil desire, just a yearning and aching for all kind of evil. Covetousness, which is idolatry. It's grief. It's that craving. It's to covet. And then he also talked about putting away anger and wrath and malice and slander and obscene talk. And then he said, and don't lie to one another. And if you remember, last week we had Lazarus as an illustration, and he visited us to show us what it's like. We're bound and alive, but we're bound, still things in our life, and we need help in getting loose. We can know the Lord and still be bound by some things. So we're talking about putting off the old self. Of course, Colossians 3:12, it says this, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. It says that we need to replace our grave clothes with some grace clothes. Oh, come on, that was really good right there. To replace our grave clothes with grace clothes. He says to take all these things off, but then he says put these things on. Here's what I love about the Bible. The Bible doesn't just accentuate the negative. And so many people in the world and in the church, especially legalistic background, think all there is to life is don't. Everything that God speaks of to take away, he then turns and he says you need to put on or you need to start. We think it's all just stop doing, but a big part of following Christ is to start doing. Well, let's look at our passage of Scripture this morning. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14. How many are glad you came to church today? Amen? All right. It says this, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord God has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. The Bible gave us 11 things that we need to take off. And now it gives us 7 positive characteristics that we need to put on. These things are not clothes, if you will, that we create. They're clothes that come from having a personal relationship with the Lord, the Holy Spirit working alive in our life, and us being people of the Word, our faith being built. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. So what I'm asking us to do is to dress like Jesus dressed. Now, I'm not talking about a sandal and robes, but I'm talking about us putting on the person of Jesus. I love these words. It says, put on as God's chosen one. How many recognize this? We didn't choose God, He chose us. Amen? We weren't looking for God. In fact, some of you were really running from God. And when He's knocking, you're like, I don't want to have anything to do with God and church. But He kept pursuing you. How many are glad God didn't give up on you? All right? So it's this whole idea. Watch these words. They're so powerful. Put on then. We put this on. Why? Because God chose us. He knocked on our heart's door. He said, hey, I want you. I want you, Randy. I want you. And guess what? He didn't give up on you. All those years, He didn't give up on you. So we're chosen. We're chosen by Him. And then He says this, holy and beloved. Verse number 12, holy and beloved. Chosen. Listen, here's what we're called. We're chosen. We're called to be holy. How many are Christ followers? Then guess what? Holiness is not an option. It's not a suggestion. It's what He's called us to. He called us. He chose us to be holy. He chose us to be His beloved. This represents this group of people, chosen, holy, beloved, represents those. Now listen, those who have trusted Jesus and believed in Jesus as their Savior and as their Lord. And so what He's called us to is to take off our grave clothes. We talked about church is a team sport. Remember? God spoke life, and after life, then He gives us the church, gives us the Word and the Holy Spirit. He gives us the church, and church is a team sport. Let me just remind you, some of you not been coming to practice, and some of you not been coming to games. It's a team sport. It's not an individual sport. He didn't call you stay home, watch TV preacher. He called you be a part of a church. I'll let the amens die down on that one. So it's a team sport, and Lazarus needed some help. He said, loose him. Jesus said, loose him to take off. Well, just like there needed to be help to take off, we need some help putting on. And that comes through discipleship and relationship and being in community. And, of course, by the grace and power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So, let's look at this. Here's what He says to put on. Number one, He says this. Wear Jesus, we're to wear His compassion. Look at verse 12. It says, put on then as chosen ones, holy and beloved, watch this, compassionate hearts. Compassionate hearts. This morning, I want to put on, I left this shirt unbuttoned. It was a choice of either coming out without a shirt on or giving you the illusion. And I wanted to wear a shirt. Number one, I didn't want anyone to be jealous. As well, I didn't want to scare any of the children. So I put on this shirt. And this shirt, putting on this shirt, represents compassion because it's closest to my heart. Compassion has to do with our innermost part, caring, longing, loving. In fact, we use the word heart. The word literally means, when it talks about compassion, it literally means bowels of mercy. The ancient Greeks believed that the deepest emotions were located in the intestinal area. We talk about the heart, but we still understand this. We talk about that gut feeling, that innermost feeling. Our English word for compassion means to feel with. It means to empathize, to have sympathy with someone who is lost, lonely, hurting, poor, diseased, homeless, hungry, aged, empty, orphans. The list goes on and on and on. And see, that represents the majority of this world. We're in the minority of this world. When it comes to some of the poverty and some of the disease and the hungry and so forth, I want you to know today, if you are facing anything I've just talked about, God has great compassion for you. The Bible says God is near the brokenhearted. So if you're hurting today, God is close to you. A brokenness. This morning, early, I told Liz, I said, Liz, two churches in Egypt got bombed on this Palm Sunday. There's 25 dead and over 100 people that's been injured. And she just broke into tears and crying, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus. And I thought, oh, God, let me have that kind of compassion. Let me have compassion. Don't let me become hard-hearted. There's so many schemes and scams, and there's so many dishonest people. So many people that are trying to take advantage of us, it's so easy to develop a hard heart. But Jesus looked at the multitudes and he was moved with compassion. We should never become so hardened. You know, we see it 24/7 with news and we see all the disaster. I thought it was interesting when our president saw the pictures of children that had been gassed. His heart literally broke, and I thought, that's a good quality. That's a good quality. I don't know all about them, but I thought, that's a good quality. God, let us never become hard-hearted people, but we clothe ourselves with compassion. We love, we're concerned, we're emotionally stirred to help hurting people. Here's what we need. We need really tough skin, because this world does some atrocious things and mocks and makes fun of us, and there's all kinds. We need really tough skin. People do people things. People say stupid things. People have pathetic attitudes and no self-control. And that's where a lot of people live. But here's what we need to learn to have is tough skin, but a tender heart. Hello? Tough skin, but a tender heart. Second thing he says is this, kindness. Put on kindness. Wear kindness. Colossians 3:12 says, put on then as God's chosen one, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts and kindness. And kindness. This morning, I'm going to have Paige help me here. And I used to wear cufflinks a lot, but I didn't have a shirt I wanted to wear today. I had cufflinks. But I used to wear these button covers. Do you have them?
Nope. You said you had them.
Where did they go? Seriously?
Yeah. Are they in that pocket? Oh, hell.
You gotta open them though. You gotta open them. Give me the other one. Okay. See these little button covers give the illusion of having on cufflinks. I know it's a little bit of a stretch. I'll make the point, but being I needed 7 pieces of clothing, I had to stretch this a bit. I put on these cufflinks, button covers, if you will, because it's on my arms. My shirt covers my heart, my innermost being. Compassion, kindness represents compassion in action. It represents hands extended. Compassion is feeling love for someone. Listen, the Bible says put on kindness. This is what we wear. This is the clothes of Jesus. This is what Jesus wore. This is what he exemplified. And so kindness is not, it's not just feeling love for someone. Kindness is doing something for someone. It's loving that person. It's putting action to it. It seems really small. These are small. But kindness is so powerful. We've heard of random acts of kindness. We live in a world where there's random acts of violence. We hear about it all the time. Senseless shootings and killings. But there needs to be not just random acts, there needs to be a heart, a life of kindness. See, Jesus had compassion. He, when he was on the mountain, he looked down and he had compassion and he wept over Jerusalem because he saw how lost they were. But not only did he weep over the lostness of humanity, he extended kindness. Here's something about kindness. Kindness needs to be extended to those we love. Sometimes it's hardest to extend kindness to the ones we love. Kindness needs to be extended to the unlovely or what may seem like unlovable. And that's Jesus. What did Jesus do? He loved the woman at the well who was living in sin. He reached out to her with kindness. He didn't treat her as a Samaritan, as a dog, as the Jews did. He showed her kindness. He engaged and talked with her. Jesus showed kindness to the woman caught in adultery. They were ready to stone her to death. Jesus reaches out to her, shows her kindness. You without sin in your life, you cast the first stone. Jesus took up for her, literally saved her life. How about a tax collector who everyone despised because he was ripping people off? And he said to that tax collector, Zacchaeus, he said, hey, hey, man, come on down. I want to hang out with you for a little while. Let's go to your house. See, Jesus showed kindness to people that the world despised. I read a story this week. I thought it was fascinating. I'll share it with you. But it was in the 50s, middle of the 50s, 55, 56, 56, I believe, when there was a guy dressed in overalls, and they said he had on some muddy boots, and he had on an old hunting hat, and he meandered onto a car lot in Tennessee, and he meandered onto a Cadillac dealership. And they said he spent 30 minutes looking around at all the Cadillacs that were out there when the owner of the Cadillac dealership told his newest, greenest salesman, go out there and get rid of that guy. Run him off the lot. That salesman went outside and he said, hey, can I help you? And the guy said, do you guys take cash or do you guys take check? And the guy said, we'll take either one. He said, good. He goes, I want that model of Cadillac in every color that they make it. And he said, I'll just pay you cash. Of course, that was Elvis Presley. And I thought when I read that story, I thought, I bet that salesman's glad he was nice to that guy. I imagine he was glad that he showed him a little bit of kindness. How about this? Jesus says this. Here's the third thing. He says, where humility. In Colossians 3 and verse number 12, it says, put on, chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness. Everyone say it with me now. Kindness, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility. One more time. Passionate hearts, kindness, humility. For humility, I'm gonna put on my shoes. And shoes being that which is lowest or closest to the ground, if you will. This is right out of the Bible. This is what Jesus says that we are to put on. A person who's truly humble thinks more of other people than he does himself. It's been said, a person who is truly humble thinks of others before himself. I love this definition. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. Humility is not saying, oh, don't look at me, I'm nothing. You know, growing up in a small church, people would get up to sing and they'd say, don't listen to me, just listen to the words of this song. And even as a little kid, I'd think, well, if you don't want me to listen to you, why don't you sit down? Don't look at me. Don't listen to, you know, don't listen to my voice. Just listen to these words and let it be a blessing. Anybody grow up in a church like that? Some of you just don't know what you're missing out on. But humility is not thinking less of yourself, but it's thinking of yourself less. Now, the opposite of that is being overbearing and loud and obnoxious. And Lord, we know plenty of overbearing, loud, obnoxious people. That goes beyond personality, and it's beyond, you know, being dynamic. It's being obnoxious, prideful, arrogant. I came across this story of Sir Winston Churchill, who was known to be really quick witted, and there was a guy in Parliament who was egotistical and a braggart, and he was really rubbing Churchill the wrong way. And Churchill said this. He said, There, but for the grace of God, goes God. God's not called us to be prideful. He's called us to be humble, to walk in humility. The Bible says this. It says he gives more grace, James 4:6, more grace. It goes on to say in that verse, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Scripture also says this just a couple verses later in the book of James, chapter 4. It says, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Listen to me, young people, young adults. Humility will pave the way for greatness. It's not arrogance. It's not arrogance, but it is humility. And when there's a humble heart and a humble spirit, see, promotion, get this down. It's not my notes, so it's going to be really good. Promotion comes from the north, meaning God. And we think we have to make our own way. We have to push down the doors. Promotion comes from God if we will humble ourselves. Amen? Amen. Some of you are familiar with Chan Gailey. He most recently has been an offensive coordinator last few years for a couple of different pro teams. Some of you Cowboy fans, he was Cowboys coach for a period of time in the NFL. But before he coached the Cowboys, do you know where he coached? Troy State. And he turned the program around during those years and had some great success. They were about to play the championship game for their division. Big game. He's headed to the practice field, and his secretary comes to him and says, hey, coach, I got a telephone call. He goes, I'm headed to practice. Take a message. She said, it's Sports Illustrated. He said, I was like, yes, yes. Maybe they're going to ask about the big game. He says, maybe they're going to do a 2 or 3 page article. He thought, maybe they're going to want to put me on the cover of Sports Illustrated. He goes to his office, picks up the phone. The person says, he says hello, and they said, is this Chan Gailey? He says, speaking. They said, this is Sports Illustrated. We're calling to inform you that your subscription is about to expire. When he gives motivational speeches, he concludes by saying, if you don't humble yourself, you will be humbled. Put on humility, thinking more of others than of yourself. What about this? Number 4, Colossians chapter 3, verse number 12, it says that we put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility. What's the next word? Meekness. We put on meekness, sometimes referred to as gentleness. Of course, meekness, you remember this from when we preached on the Sermon on the Mount series. Meekness is not weakness, but it is strength under control. What I'm going to put on to help illustrate meekness is my belt. And I put my belt on. There's a couple of thoughts that come to mind in thinking about belt. I can't, anytime I pick up a belt, I can't help but think about my dad beating the tar out of me. And I thought there had to have been a certain amount of self-control or he would have just whooped me beyond. So belt, self-control on my dad's part. Thank God. And how about this? Next time you go to get dessert, an extra dessert, get seconds, thirds, fourths, just remember self-control or else you're going to have a bigger belt. But what about this? Meekness, gentleness. That's quite a statement for the Lord to tell us that we need to put on in this dog-eat-dog culture that we live in. It's this self-assertive. And I understand, you know, promoting self, and especially if you're a business owner and you've got to promote your business. And I understand that to a certain extent. But in our age, we have taken that to the nth degree. In the book Winning by Intimidation, the author says that the squeaky wheel gets the grease. The louder and more abrasive you are, the more you can accomplish. And I see that. I see self-promotion, push, 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 push. But watch this. Think about that in light of the teachings of Jesus. And Jesus contrasted that by saying, come unto me. And here's what he said, because I am gentle and I'm humble in my heart. Wow. That's a pretty big contrast. Self, push self. It's all about me. Jesus said, hey, I'm gentle, I'm humble in heart. Jesus wasn't a wimp. Next week, being Easter, we're going to talk about the cross. We're going to talk about the resurrection. Jesus was a man. The beating that he took. He was a man. He was a strong man. He's kind of guy who had dirt under his fingernails. Get your hands dirty, rough, tough man. He had enough strength to single-handedly drive out the animals, kick over the tables of those who were cheating God in the house of God. Yet, he was very gentle and meek. So he had strength, ultimate power, but he had great gentleness. The Bible uses, and we talked about this when we did the Sermon on the Mount series, the picture of meekness and gentleness is that of a stallion, a huge stallion that is broke, and you're able to ride it. It has great spirit, it has great power, it has great strength, but it follows the direction of its rider. And that's what God has called us. He's called us to be strong men and women, but he's called us to follow the directions of our Lord. Strength under control. That's what we're to put on. Now, I think about that. Strength under control. It seems like to me people don't have a lot of control when it comes to their mouth. And I mean, it just runs. Say whatever they want, do whatever they want, about whatever they want. Whether that be to the customer service department at Walmart or Target. I see it on Facebook, and I cringe at what some so-called Christians say on Facebook. There's no self-control. There's no meekness, gentleness. It's blasting. Anytime someone has a bad experience or maybe not the best experience, they want to blast them. And not only do they want to blast them, they want to tell the whole world about them. And I think, I'm embarrassed for you. I'm sad. I think there's no meekness there. There's no gentleness there. The Bible goes on and it says this. Verse number 12. After meekness, it says, put on patience. Put on patience. This tie represents patience. Sometimes it takes a little patience to tie a tie. My dad taught me how to tie a tie. He taught me how to tie this a single Windsor knot, and he taught me how to tie a double Windsor knot. When I was in college, he tied a whole bunch of them. So when I went away to college, I had some ties because that first year we had to dress up a little bit more. I don't have a mirror on, but maybe it's pretty decent. So, tie to represent patience in our life. The word patience here doesn't mean to wait for something. It means the opposite of being short-tempered. The opposite of being short-tempered. Some people have a hair-trigger temper. We talked about this last week with anger, but I mean, they're just explosive. They're ready to explode all over people. Now, the opposite of having a hair trigger, of just being explosive, is being patient. A character quality, it's like this, a long fuse. Anger is representative usually of some unresolved conflict within a person. Anger is representative usually of a conflict that someone has with God because they don't like the way things turned out. God didn't answer their prayer the way they thought he should. Maybe it's because of the way they're made, their physical appearance. And they blame that on God, and they become very angry or violently angry people. Listen to this. I'm not going to stay here long. Jesus displayed long-suffering when he was insulted. A better word for patience really is long-suffering. This verse, when I came across it this week, blows my mind. Look at this. 1 Peter 2 and verse 23. But when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He did not revile in return. He didn't respond to them. He kept trusting God. Does everybody get that? And so powerful for everyone who wants to just give people a piece of their mind. Just respond. Jesus was long-suffering. How about this? I'm going to land this now. Forgiveness, Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you. I'm going to use this suit jacket as a symbol of forgiveness. If you're going to a nice banquet or a formal, you have to have a suit jacket on. You have to have a suit on. In fact, there's some restaurants that you can't eat at if you're not dressed appropriately. Liz and I went to a restaurant one time when we were in Hawaii, and it was no shorts. Well, everyone's on vacation, so when you went to this restaurant, I didn't know the rule. I had shorts on. I had dress shorts and a dress shirt on, but I had shorts on. They had a room where they had all sizes of pants, and you could go in there and get a pair of pants to fit over your shorts. Let me tell you this, we're going to a banquet, and it's called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb, and you're not getting in if you don't have the coat of forgiveness on. For if you forgive not men their trespasses, if you forgive men not their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father. If you're not dressed appropriately, if you have not put on forgiveness, don't joke yourself. You're not getting in. And there's no purgatory and there's no room to the side where you can all of a sudden slip a new coat on. Right now is when you got to demonstrate forgiveness. You've got to let it go. Jesus told a parable about a man who owed his master $100,000. And the guy begged and begged, and the master said he forgave him. Later on that afternoon, that guy who had been forgiven went out, and there was a guy who owed him $10. And he didn't have the money to pay him, and he beat him, and he threw him in jail. The man who had forgiven $100,000, when he found out about what the man he had forgiven did, he went back to him and he said, "Hey, deal's off. You owe me $100,000. You're going back to jail until you pay it off." See, it's this idea of forgiveness, of whom much has been forgiven, we could say. Then we should forgive much. Whom much is given, much is required. Well, of whom much has been forgiven, of the many it's been forgiven. We've been forgiven a lot. We need to demonstrate forgiveness. Why? Because no one has done to us. No one has done to us what we have done to the Lord. Americans, we don't get that because we think we're better than everybody else. But the reality is no one has sinned against us as grievously as we have sinned against God. My dad used to sing this little song. He used to sing, "He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay." Pretty powerful, isn't it? Don't look at me. Don't listen to me. Just listen to the words. How about this? I'll close with this. Colossians 3 and verse 14. It says, "And above all of these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." Now, we don't wear these down here, but I keep this for those times when I consult with churches up in Chicago. But I think it illustrates the point. What you put over everything, you clothe yourself with all these things, and then he says, above all, put on love. Put on love. It's what holds it all together. You know, we kind of lost the idea of love. We say that we love our wife. You say you love your husband, boyfriend, your girlfriend, your fiance. Then we turn around and say, I really love apple pie. I really love Dr. Pepper, ho-hos, and ding-dongs. And then we say, man, I love Alabama football. Or I love Auburn football. Peace, peace. We say we love America, and that's something totally different. You see, love has become a catch-all for all these different feelings. But I think if you really want to understand how love holds this whole thing together, 1 Corinthians tells us love always protects. Do you need kindness? The Bible says love is kind. Do you want to have humility and not just be filled with God's love, because the Bible says love does not boast. Gentleness, it's right there. Love's not rude. Love is patient. And the key to forgiving others is love because love keeps no records of wrong. Have you ever noticed that what you wear determines how you behave a lot of times? Folks come down here to vacation in our beautiful little paradise. And it's like when they put on their shorts and flip-flops, it's like they take ether when they come across that bridge. Not everyone, but some people lose their minds and they act different. I think of this, I think, Randy, of a police officer, highway patrolman, seeing you, your badge, your gun. And there's that sense, that way that a policeman carries themselves. You got a tender heart. You're a lover of people. But yet there's this sense, seeing you, of authority. When a doctor puts on his lab coat, they project an image of caring, of professionalism. I pray you get this. I pray that all these little props just help you to remember something and don't forget it when you walk out those doors. But listen to this. When you are clothed in Jesus, it will change the way you think and act. It is an atrocity for the church, for Christ believers, to live according to the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, to live with these 13 sins when the Lord has told us specifically, clothe yourself. It will change the way you think. It'll change the way you talk. It'll change the way you walk. It'll change the way you live. Put on Jesus. Father, I love you. I thank you for your presence that's in this place. Seal your word. God, help us to clothe ourselves by the power of the Spirit, to be clothed, to put off the old and to put on the new. Jesus, speak to our hearts. Change us. Change the way we live. Change the way we act. God, we are desperate for you. We need you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.